now. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
Why does everyone hate Jason Tatum?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
That is a hot take of hot takes. I like it.
Tatum steps to his left, three in the air. Got it!
Big boy, step up at the right time, man.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. 2024 PGA Championship winner, Xander Schauffele. Coming up, Michigan men's basketball head coach, Dusty May. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on our program. We got phone lines lit up. We'll take them in a couple seconds before Dusty May will be joining us. Very, very 21st century story is that he'll be zooming in from the Big Ten meetings because he can't get here from an hour away in Southern California in time. And as the crows flies, it's what, about 18 miles? Is that what it is? Something like that? It's not too far.
Something like that. It's not that far.
But just the fact that there's Big Ten meetings here in Palos Verdes, California, right? I mean, what the hell's going on in all So he will be joining us shortly on the program. Last time I saw him was when I was rushing to make my flight after the NFL draft in Detroit. There he was, taking his bag off the conveyor belt. And security. I'm like, good to see you. I was in my full suit and tie, man.
And you blew him off and you just ran by him.
I didn't blow him off. I just said, it was great to see you. I would love to chat with you more, but I need to make my flight. And then literally on the day that Run Rich Run was presented, I was running through the airport in a suit and tie. So that actually happened. He'll be joining us shortly. And again, as I said, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. It is a wild week for me. Again, this is the only day I'll be in this chair. Susie did yesterday and Monday, and Kirk Morrison is on tomorrow's program. And so we're also dark on Friday, so everybody can have a good breather of a vacation here. So we're going to do What's More Likely Today instead of a Friday.
Hey.
And What's More Likely is presented by T. Rowe Price. Hit it. Hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
Hey, guys, happy Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Everybody good?
Yes.
Everybody good? Mikey, you good?
I'm good. I'm good.
You're like sneezing over there.
No, I wasn't sneezing.
Which more insanely hyped rookie is likely to have a better winning percentage this year?
Oh, my God.
I was going to do total wins, but that was really disrespectful to the second team. So I went winning percentage. Caleb Williams or Caitlin Clark?
Oh. So you're asking me this question is Caitlin Clark has got a winning percentage of zero, right?
Correct,
now.
Yeah. They're both even
through
right
four,
now.
Through four, they're both even.
Yeah, they're both even at the moment. This coming season.
I don't know.
I'm watching Caleb Williams throw at OTAs. Oh, baby, he looks good.
I'll take Caleb Williams because he's on a better team from what you can see so far through four games.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I'll just take Caleb Williams since I'm letting you look at the Bears. Is he going to start 0-4? You know?
Let's see.
Interesting question
Caleb
right here.
Caleb Williams could start 0-4. Yeah, he could start 0-4. Tennessee, Houston on Sunday night. Indy, Rams. Could be 0-4.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
I do know what you mean. And I mean, the WNBA season, I'm just trying to figure out what percentage of games is four.
It's 40 games
40
long.
Games.
Right. So she's through 10% of her season.
Right.
10% of the Bears season would be...
like 0-2?
I'll still take Caleb Williams right here.
Okay.
What else, Chris?
How about this one? We were just talking a little bit about the Vikings.
Yes.
Drake May looked fantastic at the Celtics game last night. How about the top 10 quarterback to start week one? J.J. McCarthy or Drake May?
Oh, J.J. McCarthy's a better, more likely, but the likely thing is neither of them. I thought you would go, what's more likely is number of Caleb Williams' wins versus combined starts of J.J. McCarthy and Drake May. How about that one?
That's fun. What's the answer to that?
I would take Caleb Williams' wins.
Ooh. I don't know about that.
I have been told that Sam Darnold has been told it is his job for 2024.
Whole season.
And they're going to, yes, and that they believe they can make the playoffs with him, and they are giving him the opportunity to basically use the Vikings as a transfer portal.
Interesting.
And that, you know, the Patriots know that Drake May, who showed up last night looking like an extra from the town,
yeah,
you know, because he looks so young, because he is that young. Like that guy, his first start, if everything goes according to plan, is 2025 as well. And so Caleb Williams is going to win. I think I would take Caleb Williams' wins over McCarthy and May starts combined.
But Jacoby Brissett, though, is talking like it's a QB competition.
Great. I don't think it is.
Oh.
Right now, obviously, it's the middle of May. Which one would you take? Gents, chime in.
I think I just
workshopped this as a more compelling.
You comboed one. That was pretty good. I would take Williams wins.
Okay.
But I would take McCarthy here.
Okay.
I mean, I know this isn't the game. I agree. Neither one is going to start, but I don't know. Like I said, he won me over. I'm Team JJ right
okay.
now.
All right. We were just talking Steelers. More likely to be the Steelers quarterback after the Week 9 bye. Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
Oh, what a silly thing here. Again, Mike Tomlin, by week one of the preseason, 10, 15 days in the training camp, is absolutely going to have a moment. I can't wait for this moment at the press conference where he's like, I appreciate the job you all have to do, and I can understand what you're asking me, but I am not going to have a daily temperature check on the quarterback competition here, because inside the building, we are building a team here and everybody relishes the competition. And that's what we do here at the Pittsburgh Steelers. And when I have an answer for you, I will give it to you. Like, that moment is coming. I don't know when it is. I'm pegging between weeks one and two of the preseason. That may not happen between weeks one and two of the preseason, because one will get a preseason one week one start. The other will get another start maybe. And that's another way to just keep the lid on this thing. But you're making me make a guess. Middle of May.
Yeah, well, let's
who's
look
going
at the
to
Steelers
be the middle
schedule.
Of the season
let's
schedule?
Let's
start.
Look at the Steelers schedule.
When does Russ get?
Okay. Atlanta, Denver, Chargers, Indy. Tough start. Dallas.
Tough start. The ending is the tough
Raiders,
part.
Raiders. Look at that end. Jets, Giants. Ooh. And then look at the end.
Oh, that end the is end like. Is, they did them no favors. I mean,
week 11 their schedule. On is insane.
But it's their schedule. What do you want them? Oh, I mean, wow. You got to play them at some point.
We got some primetime games before the bye,
again,
so the
it's
whole
not,
country can see
hey,
what Russ looks like.
Everyone has to just keep the schedule up here for a second. Everybody has to, when you look at a schedule, don't look at who they're playing. Because
that's what we're supposed to look
hold
at.
On a second. You look at who they're playing, obviously, but don't look solely at who they are playing, because you know these teams, they have to play them, and obviously you're going to put them all back-to-back or whatever, and you're like, that's a tough stretch. Oof. And then last year, who looked at the Texans in the middle of May and say, that's a very tough stretch for them when you saw them on the schedule? You don't know. The thing you need to look for are the short weeks on the road, the Monday nights that turn into Sundays, and you take a look at the Saturday, Wednesday. That's not easy. You're going Sunday, Saturday, Wednesday. Then the Sunday's at Philly, and the Saturday's at Baltimore, and the Wednesday's home for Kansas City.
You're proving my point.
No, but that's it's not just the names, it's the dates as well. That said, I'll say Russ.
Ooh, yes.
I'll say Russ. That they're going to give him enough time, and I understand that 8 weeks, 2 months is enough time.
I'm still questioning this.
I'll go Russ.
Russ Hill.
I'll go Russ.
3,000 yards passing, 26 touchdowns, only 8 picks.
Yeah, but it was such.
On a bad team, though, Rich, this team wasn't good. The Steelers team is going to be a lot better, and he's not going to have to go in there and throw for 4,000
yards. We will see.
Pittsburgh might honestly start 1-4. Like, come on, guys.
God, you don't believe it.
What else, Chris?
Let's talk about receivers here. Which OTA absentee is more likely to get the bag for CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson?
Well, that's easy.
Why is that so easy? Because it'll be Justin Jefferson?
Yeah.
Because Jerry Jones will wait? He'll keep waiting?
What are they waiting for?
Geppetto likes to keep us all on the street.
Every day, right? One of these guys wait. The dollar goes up.
Geppetto's going to keep us. Yeah.
Dude, dollar goes up every day.
There's no pie.
I don't get it.
There's no pie.
I don't understand it.
We don't get to see the pie. Either my cousin's going to get his bag or my guy on my favorite
JJ
team.
JJ getting the bag. When's he getting the bag?
We were talking about the bag in February.
You know what's in the bag?
A lot of green stuff.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
Just I mean, an insane amount of stacks. Dollar bills.
Holler.
Y'all. And of course you're going to go. If you're saying it's not just, you could take Justin Jefferson out and CeeDee Lamb's name out and make this a Mad Lib, okay? Which is OT absentee wide receiver to get the bag first. Proper name cowboy or proper name anybody else on anybody other team. You're going to go with the proper name anybody else on any other team because proper name cowboy never gets the bag early or before. They always get the bag late.
Yeah, we're to make sure
that's it.
They would make sure you're the highest paid player.
Cowboy, they need to make sure
we want.
I mean, if I'm CeeDee Lamb, of all the players, seriously, of all the players in that locker room, that you're going to ask to see more of to see if they're going to be part of the solution? Is he the last one or is Micah Parsons the last one?
Cool.
Name it. It's neck and neck for who's the last ones to wonder if I need to see more from them to see if they're part of the answer and not part of the problem. Get out of here.
Do you think it's likely if I had changed this to current cowboy great to finish their career on a different team?
Yes.
CD or Micah Parsons?
Oh, man. I don't know. What a crazy question. What's more likely workshopping is off the charts today?
That's an excellent
question. I mean, do you have to answer it?
More likely to finish their career on another team?
Yeah.
Man.
You know it's Micah Parsons.
Well,
but you know, it's more likely the wide receiver. How many wide receivers just stay put?
That was
their entire careers.
He wears 88.
So
yeah,
what?
They don't leave.
I don't know.
Unless you're Dez and
Micah
forced to leave.
All right, I'll accept that answer. What else?
All right, just a few others here. Let's switch sports a little bit. MVP finalist to finally win their first title: Luka or Connor McDavid?
Good one. I'll go Connor McDavid because I think Luka's going to have a problem against the next two opponents.
You guys are both picking the T-Wolves, right? I kind of think the Mavericks might.
But why do you say it that way?
Just because everyone's kind of
sleeping on
them.
Why do you say it that way?
They're underdogs. I don't know. Everyone's falling in love with Ant.
Connor McDavid, man.
He's so good.
It's hard.
I will never forget the first time I saw him play here in L.A. and I brought Coop. It was a couple years ago. And he goes, Dad, which one's Connor McDavid? And I said, look for the largest player that's out there.
Who's skating the fastest.
Pretty much. He was so obvious who the superstar was just on the eye test of size and speed. So I'll go with Connor McDavid.
All right. How about this one? I don't know if you saw Serena Williams' tweet this week.
I did not. What happened?
She tweeted out, hey, maybe I should hit some balls.
Oh, please.
How about the GOAT to make a comeback this year?
Tom Brady? Stop with the Tom Brady.
He's in the booth. He's done.
When he stops, I'll stop.
He has stopped.
He stopped.
No, he keeps talking about
it. He's done.
Dude.
He's done.
Please. He's trying to become, right now, the an owner of the Raiders first and an Emmy Award winner at 1A, if not, that's one. Okay? He's out.
Same.
He's out the game.
What if?
But getting Serena back,
Minshew gets her.
Oh, I will be front row center.
Yeah, she was like, maybe I should hit some balls.
Yes, please.
That'd be fun.
You got one more?
Or is that it? How about this? How about which series you like to go 7? Celtics Pacers after what we saw last night, or Wolves Mavs?
You know the answer to this question.
Both.
I will give you the answer to this question. Hold on a second. Mavericks Timberwolves going to a game 7. Will be so insanely wild for the first 6 games that I think that would make it Why? I mean, I would love to see that go seven games because I just think it's going to be wildly entertaining. But in terms of content for this show, for see the Pacers push the Celtics to a game seven.
I should have a live stream.
I am
on
all
me
in.
These games.
I am all in. Oh no, you'll turn it off because you're
did turn it
you're your very delicate heart.
I'm mad,
Rich. I'm sorry you're not a fan anymore.
I am. A fan.
You know what I mean?
What are you talking about?
Like I'm a real fan.
What do you mean? No, real fans don't just say.
I was. You know how close I had to turn it off, or I would have went viral for like punching my TV like those lunatics.
Come on.
Well, that's lunatic behavior. That's
why I turned it off and I calmly went outside.
Whatever. Well done. That was What's More Likely presented by T. Rowe Price, where confidence comes from a curiosity to uncover opportunities others may miss. T. Rowe Price asks smart questions to better understand risks, develop insights, and give clients an investment edge. Better questions, better outcomes. Learn more at TRoweProice.com/curiosity. Let's take a break. Still to come, phone calls, the latest on Tom Brady's attempt to become a Raider minority owner in the National Football League, what the NFL's up to with technology to make sure there's no more index cards to finish up, figure out first downs, and also still to come on this program, Dusty May, the head coach of the Michigan Wolverine basketball program. Next, this is the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
So, as the Timberwolves are getting set to host the Dallas Mavericks this evening, as we all know, Anthony Edwards' response to Charles Barkley saying he hadn't been in Minnesota in 20 years, he said, bring your ass, right? Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
Okay. Yeah. So, in that spirit, the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, proclared today Wolves Back Day, okay, which is great. And you could see there are multiple whereases in the proclamation. And we zoom in on the first letters of the first five whereases from the proclamation. It begins with the words, basketball reigning it, Nas, and games. And the first letters of those five words is bring. And then the next five whereas to complete the different whereases of the proclamation are young at Anthony sportsmanship and sports, which spells out your ass. We see you, Governor.
Well done, Governor.
We see you.
Well done.
Wolves Back Day. They certainly have something to lead off tonight's Inside the NBA from Minneapolis. Oh, God, I love it. Anthony Edwards is just leading the way in the most profane manner either. You know, you don't usually see that sort of thing where everybody right. backfills. It's kind of like he's the roast master, right? And everybody right. else coming out and that's feeling right. a little bit more right. free to say things they normally wouldn't.
Very good.
Like a governor of Minnesota spelling out 10 different letters. spelling out three words with 10 different letters. Well done. I wonder who saw that first.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder how the conversation went to even like.
Yeah, who pitched
that?
The governor?
I don't know.
That,
it's a great one. And I'm wondering if Jason Kidd is going to show this proclamation tonight in the locker room.
Oh, I would.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I'm at the Rich Eisen Show desk here on the Rich Eisen Radio Network. The desk is furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We wanted our next guest to stop by in person since he's just down the road here in Palos Verdes, California, just down the road from us. But he's not flying on a crow, and we didn't have a helicopter to get him here on time because it ain't easy. When you're in the Big Ten here in Southern California, the head coach of men's basketball at the University of Michigan, Dusty May, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Coach? Good to see you.
It's great to see you, Rich. Like you said, we're out here welcoming in the four new members of the Big Ten.
Is that what this is about right now? Is that what's happening?
That's what the intent was. It's flew in several other directions now with the landscaping of college athletics changing by day, it seems.
Yeah, by the way, if I was, you know, sitting in an institution of higher learning in a climate that might be in the 30 or 40 degree range, I wouldn't mind welcoming in new members of the Big Ten if it was in Palos Verdes, California. I'm not going to lie, Dusty. It's not a bad way to do it.
I think it's much warmer in Michigan this week, coincidentally.
Oh, how about that? Okay, very good. So, by the way, great to see you in Mays. It's very becoming. I like it.
It feels right.
So was John Beilein a crucial part of the recruitment of you, Dusty?
I wouldn't say he was crucial in the recruitment. He was obviously crucial because of the program that he helped build in the vision and the success that they had. But yeah, when I went to Fort Lauderdale to meet with Ward, he was there and we spoke for probably 30 minutes. And it was just a great reassurance of everything's in place to be successful and to be able to do it year in, year out. So obviously he's a legend in our game, a Hall of Famer, and someone that's done a lot for our sport. So it was nice just for him to kind of stamp the whole thing.
Yes, it certainly. And for, you know, a lot of us in the alumni fan base, just hearing his involvement because of what he was able to achieve in his tenure at the head of the program was great to hear. What, if you don't mind me prying, that you're willing to share of what you needed to hear in that conversation to feel confident to take the gig?
Well, obviously, like all of us, we get a lot of our news from Twitter or from X, whatever you want to call it now, social media outlets. And so you've heard all these things with admission standards and NIL, and they just weren't, you know, there was a little bit of validity to a few of them. But for the most part, it was just, rumors and hearsay and just wanted to make sure that you could attract quality people, high achievers. And Coach Beilein assured me that there weren't many roadblocks to his success.
And in terms of NIL, because that really wasn't part of his world when he was there at Michigan, what role does name, image, and likeness and whatever the current setup is that might be changing in short order anyway, what is the necessities for being successful on that front?
Well, we all have to have collectives that are actively involved in raising capital, helping our players secure advertising deals and car dealerships and whatnot. And so they're a big part of our success. And we look at it as we have to work together. There has to be some form of a partnership because without NIL, I don't think any of the Power Five schools will be able to maintain success. And it's just so fluid right now where you're always trying to figure out ways to help your players, because without that help, it's going to be very, very difficult to recruit.
And of course, you've got, you know, six transfers coming in, including some that you're quite familiar with because you coached them at Florida Atlantic. If you don't mind walking me through that process to build your roster out for next year with you taking the gig somewhat, I would think, late in the game.
Well, we're actually only one player is coming with us, Vlad Golden, who has his degree from FAU, and he wanted to go against Power Five bigs night in, night out. So the timing was right for him. And he's also kind of a unicorn where he's 7'1". He loves to screen. He enjoys passing. He's an unbelievable teammate. So when you start with that foundational piece, it's easy to recruit too, because it's not as if when he's not getting the ball, he's complaining. He probably should complain a little bit more to his coach. that he doesn't get as many touches as he should with his percentages. But that was a great starting point for us because of how much he impacts winning. And when you look at his metrics, I mean, he was as impactful as probably any big guy in the country last year. And then you factor in what he does intangibly with his physicality and his ability to make his teammates better. We just thought he was crucial for our first year success.
How does one monitor the transfer portal? By the way, I know, and having that open during the men's basketball tournament is just, I can't grasp it. I mean, what is that like for you?
It's tough. And unfortunately our staffs have grown. So we look at it as our support staff and assistant coaches, they're filtering the information because there's only so many guys you can target and go after. So we rely on it, and it's worked out where most of the guys that we've recruited and signed, we have, history with them or at least some relationship background. And so when you have that information from maybe the summer circuit or you know their coaches, if you know who they are as people, then it makes it easier who to target. And we feel great about the character and the guys we brought in because we were familiar with each and every one of them.
You know, my favorite transfer is Roddy Gale. You want to take a guess why he's my favorite transfer, Coach? You want to guess?
Yeah, because he left the school down south.
Oh, yes. Red meat. Oh, scarlet and gray meat for this conversation. By the way, you can say the words Ohio State. They have the problem with us. You know what I'm saying? Don't.
Noted.
You know, I'm here to help because they can't even spell out the letter M. What whatever. But you did take him, right?
We did. He's a very talented player. He was successful for them. He's familiar with the conference, the physicality of the Big Ten. And we think with the personnel that we have around him, he'll be able to elevate his numbers, his efficiencies as well. He adds a lot to our team, and we were very, very fortunate that he made the move.
Dusty May, men's basketball coach, new to the University of Michigan here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk a little bit more about you. The last time you were on the show, you were phoning in when you were in the Final Four at your previous stop. And your first, we were going through your history. And again, you were what for Bob Knight at Indiana? What was your role there, Dusty?
I was a student manager. And Rich, things were a lot different back then. There were three assistant coaches, and there was a trainer, and then the Coach Knight secretaries. And so the manager program was a hierarchy. And it almost, you're as a senior, you're pretty much a video coordinator or director of basketball operations. So it was an opportunity to learn the business side of basketball and also just learn from Coach Knight on a daily basis. And most of the guys that I worked with all moved into Division I basketball or the NBA. Joe Pasternak, the head coach at Santa Barbara, and Mike Schrage, who's at Duke now, that was head coach at Elon. There were three student managers at the same that were working together at Indiana that became Division I head coaches at the same time. So it's a testament to the program and also just working for Coach Knight.
Yeah, NIL stood for the chances you had if you talked back to him, right? Pretty much at that time.
Yeah, you never talk back to him.
Yeah, there's no NIL. But what would he think, Dusty May, if he knew you were the head coach of the University of Michigan basketball program?
Well, he was close with Coach Jim Beckler. He had some great battles against Michigan. Actually, as a young child growing up in Big Ten country, I remember the Indiana-Michigan games.
Oh, yes.
So many years. They were unbelievable matchups, it's a big part of Big Ten lore.
Oh, yeah. I remember being in Chrysler Arena when he brought in Steve Alford. I think that was when we had Gary Grant. Antoine Joubert was another great player. And then Frieder was beginning to build the team that wound up being in Steve Fisher's hands for the 89 championship run. And I just remember when Bob Knight came into Chrysler Arena, that was an absolute gym. I mean, it was a cauldron on those games when I was a student there, you know, not an athlete, but I just remember them. So pretty wild that you're now in charge of the Michigan basketball program. That's pretty cool.
It certainly is wild, Rich.
No doubt. So I guess what do you want the fan base to know about? Because obviously last year was quite a disappointment. There's no other way to put it. What would you like them to know going into your first year as the coach?
that Michigan is going to put a product on the court. Michigan basketball is going to put a product on the court that the Michigan alumni base, Michigan fans are going to enjoy rooting for, that they're going to, I guess, take pride in how they're represented as far as aggression, style of play, but more importantly, the way we interact with each other. I think everyone wants to watch a group that functions as a unit, as a team, and we take a lot of pride in bringing in guys that value the block game, that take pride in wearing it, and also are going to play the game the way we think it should be played. And as you talk about Coach Knight, he was very, very stubborn with the way that the game of basketball should be played. And that's something that we're going to hang our hat on as well, being very, very stubborn and playing good team basketball.
And was there any conversation at these meetings at all about a possible settlement that's coming to revenue share with student athletes and private equity and things of that nature? Is that on the table for, and again, I know you're new to the gig at Michigan, but you're certainly not to the business of being a coach in big time college basketball. Is this a conversation that's being had there?
There wasn't a lot of conversations on the private equity side. Obviously the settlement has been at the forefront of conversations for the last couple of weeks. I think everyone within NCAA basketball assumes that something will be resolved sooner than later. But to be honest, it was more of just, we'll know more in the next week. I think as all the leagues continue to meet and gather information and decide, because we all have to be on a unified front. This is something that there needs to be resolution and there needs to be some stability going forward. So I think basically as we've finished up this morning, it's just something will happen very soon.
So that's what you're being told, that maybe in the next week is when you're going to get an update on the details and how, because I imagine that would definitely affect the way that you run a program, clearly, right?
Without a doubt. I think that's kind of how we all have to be fluid right now, because you never know which direction the courts are going to go in. You never and what direction the other leagues are going to go in. That's another part of the problem. It doesn't seem like all the leagues are there's no conformity. And so, yeah, we have to stay liquid as a group, as a coach, because it could look a lot different in a week. It could look a lot different in a month, and then it could be completely turned upside down in a year. So it's part of the landscape. But at the end of the day, there's more people than ever watching the Big Ten basketball in the seats on TV. So it's a great time to be a part of this league, especially with the expansion. We're excited about it.
Well, congratulations on the gig. And like I said, take as many Ohio State kids as you want. Feel free to say the name. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Don't worry about it. And I look forward to you, you know, getting the W's that you want, Coach.
Well, Rich, we'll see you in L.A. on the USC UCLA trip this January, February.
You can count on that, sir. Count on that. Good to chat with you. Last time I saw you, I was running to make a plane. So I appreciate having more time with you.
You're still very fleet-footed, Rich. You said athletic part in college.
So. Did you hear that? I'm fleet-footed. He saw my quick. Excuse me.
Men stick together.
This is a man who knows what high-profile athletes look like, okay?
That's a fact.
He understands what five-star athletes look like. Seriously, how quick was my first step away from that security area, Coach?
Very elusive, very agile.
Gone.
I mean,
and there were steps to negotiate too. There's an escalator, moving steps.
Rich, I got a question for Coach real quick.
Sure.
No, I ask all the Michigan Hoopers this.
Okay.
Coach, I'm just wondering, are you guys going to bring the baggy shorts back? Reminiscent of the Fab 5 days.
You know, I'm out of date on fashion, but apparently baggy, everything's coming back in. So I think the baggy shorts within the next couple of years will be in the maize and blue.
Okay, there you go.
I like that.
Do you feel better for that?
I do, man.
Okay, could you imagine how much faster if I was dressed in that instead of a suit when he saw me leaving the security area?
By him so fast, he wouldn't have seen you.
See you.
Speedy, elusive.
Out the door. Coach, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate it.
You bet. That's Dusty May, head coach of Michigan basketball, joining us here. Man, you're reading about private equity that's potentially coming to college athletics. I read that story today in Yahoo, and I honestly needed at least three more read-throughs to basically grasp what a lot of people were saying is the end of college athletics. That was the initial sense, that the number of people that retweeted that story into my timeline. We might have to get on that a little bit more in our future shows just to dig in on what that all means. Because the league is talking today, the NFL is talking today about adding private equity into
saw that.
into teams. So I don't know what this all means. Let's take a break. When we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show, the latest on Tom Brady's ability to become an owner in the NFL prior to him taking the booth for Fox. And more of your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The first quarterback of my Michigan fandom, indeed, the coach of my team, the man who gave me the honor of representing the team as an honorary captain, and a man who would tell me to attack each day with an enthusiasm unknown to man, common man.
Yes, sir.
Who's got it better than me?
Nobody.
Jim Harbaugh's on the Rich Eisen Show, aren't you? You there, Jim?
I'm here, Rich. Oh, happy birthday, fantastic. Monday. 50th.
Big 5-0.
Wow, awesome.
Big 5-0.
I was supposed to be at your surprise party last Saturday night.
I heard that story, but you got caught up with being a family man, which is...
Yeah, I got my daughter's graduation party was that Saturday night. Her graduation was Thursday.
It's all good.
The party was Saturday, so...
Are you going to have more honorary captains? Are you still doing that?
Yeah, we're still doing that. We're going to honor the 69 team.
Okay, so that means Dierdorf comes back?
Dierdorf should be back.
Well, he's already there. He'll be in the radio booth, so okay.
Yeah, Ty Law is going into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yes. If you need me to let them know how high the bar is set in terms of speechifying, just give them my number. I'll tell them how high the bar is set, Jim, you know?
I will tell them that. I will let them know that. I'm gonna let them know. That's how we do it. You know, listen, you're gonna be honorary captain. You got to talk to the team.
Yes.
You got to watch this. You got to watch this clip from Rich Eisen. This is how it's done. This is how you do it.
Hey Jim, thanks for calling in. Really means a lot. You are you're one of my all time favorites for many, many reasons. So thanks for taking the time here in June.
Well, enjoy your continued 50th. Okay. This doesn't sound like it's just one day. It sounds like it's Eisenpalooza. Yes. You know, it goes on for a week.
Eisenpalooza is still one of my favorite drops. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, get your Game Time app on a mobile device immediately. The basketball playoffs have reached the third round, the penultimate round. And anytime like I'm watching one of these games, I'm thinking, how cool would it be to actually attend one of these games? Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace for basketball, which means getting playoff tickets even faster and easier because prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off. As a matter of fact, the prices go even more down if Brockman turns the game off.
Whoa.
No, seriously, I'm seeing that right here. This is what Game Time says. Last-minute tickets, flash deals, zone deals, the all-in pricing part of the app. I love that part because there's no surprise when you hit purchase. You get to see everything up front before you do that. Guesswork's totally removed when you buy basketball tickets with Game Time. Again, download the app, create a Game Time account, use my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem the code RICH, you get $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Eisenpalooza.
I love it.
Yeah.
So we're on right now. All right, Mitch in Dallas. Let's get him on the horn right here. Mitch in Dallas. It's line two, DJ Mike. Yep. What's up, Mitch? What's going on in Dallas?
Not too much. Just hanging out here, waiting to get on and give you a little Tampa Bay update.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Because here I am thinking, okay, the Mavs and the Stars are each in the conference finals in their respective sports, and you're thinking Tampa Bay Buccaneers football. Is that what you're saying right now in Dallas?
Well, I'm kind of I've become a big Baker Mayfield fan.
Okay,
and,
I like it. I like it.
Was a Browns fan my whole life, and then once they did that fiasco of a thing, I got tired of their impatience and said, now I'm going to follow Baker. So
okay, very good. Look at you. Look at Mitch in Dallas coming in correct with a Tampa Bay Buccaneers win loss. Here we go.
Yeah.
Is this our first of this, Chris?
No, someone did the Bucks yesterday.
Okay, Commanders at home. What do you have to start?
I have them winning. Beating Washington.
At Detroit, week two.
Yes, loss.
Home for Denver.
Win.
Home for the Eagles.
Win.
At the Falcons on a Thursday night.
Loss.
3-2 at the Saints.
Win.
4-2 home for the Ravens on a Monday night.
Loss.
4-3 home for the Falcons.
Win.
5-3 at the Chiefs on a Monday night.
Loss.
5-4 against the 49ers at home.
Win.
6-4 off the bye at the Giants.
Win.
7-4 at the Carolina Panthers.
Win.
8-4 home for the Raiders.
Loss.
8-5 at the Chargers.
Win.
9-5 at the Dallas Cowboys.
Win.
10-5 against the Carolina Panthers.
Win.
11-5 home for the Saints.
Loss.
11-6. All right, Mitch in Dallas, who's a fan of Baker Mayfield. Thank you for the call, Mitch in Dallas. 11.
Okay. Ironically, Mike in Florida yesterday did the Bucks, had an exact 11-6 record. Just like that gentleman.
Is that the Mike in Florida that Susie was singing the praises of? She, when I arrived last night, she said somebody had called in who was an all-star win-loss game player. Was that the one?
That might have been the dude who had the Eagles going 17-0.
Oh, is that? Wait a minute.
We had two Mike in Florida's back-to-back.
We had Mike in Orlando, and then we had Mike in Florida.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. Somebody had the...
We had some good callers yesterday.
Hold on a second. We had somebody said the Eagles were going 17-0.
Ron in Los Angeles.
Yeah, Ron.
And is that what Jake Tapper did a couple years ago? We had Jake
Tapper. He had them 16-1.
Yeah. No one's been that bold to
17-0.
17-0.
Is that the only 17-0 we've had in the 2-year history of the win loss game?
Yes.
Yes.
Or actually, we've done this more years than that, but.
And he did it in a
not
voice.
The 17. And
he was almost like Macho Man.
He was kind of doing a wrestling promo, kind of.
Yeah.
And then Mike in Florida, who did the Bucks, had them 11-6, and then had the exact same playoff scenario as this year: beating the Cowboys at home, going to Detroit, winning, going to San Francisco, winning, and then winning the Super Bowl.
All right.
Beating the Eagles at home.
Speaking of Sue, she did the show expertly for 2 days, and then once was done yesterday. Recorded the latest edition of What the Football with Amy Trask. And it's Mike Tirico is the guest this week. They talk quite a bit about the future of the NFL and the future leadership and ownership. I guess looking over the steering wheel in a post Jerry Jones, Bob Kraft dominated world. Also talking quite a bit about the future of private equity, which was discussed today. And Amy, being an expert in owners' meetings, dropped this gem when Susie brought up the question of Tom Brady's ownership play with the Raiders. And this is interesting in many ways, because haven't you asked, or we've had the conversation, like, how did Brady get connected to, of all teams, the Raiders?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, would you have chosen the Raiders to be a spot for him to join or be interested in joining?
Yeah.
Or... Here was the exchange with Suze and Amy Trask in the latest episode of What the Football.
How did Tom Brady come to be a part, do you believe, of the Raiders organization?
Oh, through Jim Gray. Jim Gray facilitated the relationship between Tom Brady and Mark Davis. And, you know, Mark, I'm certain Mark knew Tom before then, but maybe facilitated is not the right word. He has join the two of them or united them with both respect to the Aces and now potentially with respect to the Raiders. What a lot of people don't know is back while with the team, Al had me sell an interest in the team for him. And Jim approached us at the time and wanted to broker a deal for someone. And I had to explain to him why that was not going to be a match for the Raiders. And it angered Jim a lot. He wanted to broker that deal. And now he has an opportunity to do that with respect to Tom and Mark.
It's unbelievable.
It is. I mean,
wow.
I'll tell you one thing I'm not doing as a broadcaster is brokering any deals of somebody to try and become an owner of a team in the NFL.
You could, though, probably.
Oh, of course I could. Please. Dude. But Amy says the individual from years ago was somebody that was in money management and is someone you wouldn't know. But, you know, I don't think Al was selling any paths to ownership to anybody years ago. And I don't know if that's part of what Brady is inquiring because the details on all of this are kind of murky.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell at today's owners meeting press conference said that there's still some issues to work through about Brady's path to having a piece of the Raiders. My colleague, Tom Pelissero, who I believe was on Monday's show with you and Suze, wearing a backwards cap, which was...
which is actually cool on our show. Other shows, not so much.
No. But it's also for people who are follically challenged, completely counterproductive. What is he doing? What is he doing covering that up?
He pulled the hat off and the hair was still.
But he was not.
He had a bad hair day, so let me just throw on a
hotel,
backwards cap.
No product. He was didn't want to, you know. Yeah.
What a waste, Tom. But at any rate, be that as it may, the reason why I'm bringing up Tom is because he says part of the issue is Brady's broadcasting career, which, by the way, Tirico also hits on that with Susie and Amy on the latest What the Football, where all podcasts can be acquired, that in his endeavor with Fox Sports, he's going to have a lot of information on other teams that owners usually are not privy to. There's a lot of competitive questions here. So he's going to be able to, do a Chargers game and then turn around and be an owner of one of the teams in the division? It doesn't matter a division. It's just any other team, one would think. Yeah, it's proprietary potential information.
And my pushback to Tom was, first off, we don't know how much Tom is acquiring of the Raiders. Like, 1, 2, 3, or like a very, very small percentage. So he's going to do these meetings and then call Antonio Pierce and be like, hey, here's what I saw. They got a trick play in the third quarter. Like, really?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, that is, let's put it this way. I think Brady can be completely professional and silo these things in the same way that, you know, there's a Jets Vikings game in London. If I'm so blessed to call another London game for NFL Network this year, and I believe that's in my future, I can be absolutely professional when it comes
to
all
Tony Romo
that.
And Troy Aikman call Washington games and Eagles games.
Right, exactly.
They're still tight with Jerry Jones.
I believe it, but I'm also not a member owner of the National Football League, where things can kind of make you a little paranoid and crazy and nutty. And it's also
kind of
your, for many respects, for people who are, you know, generationally wealthy, the thing they care about the most of their businesses. And if somebody has a potential in with another team or whatever, I mean, Brady might run into that too, where he's going to a meeting and we're like, yeah, we're just, Tom, we can't tell you because we're taking on the Raiders in a couple of weeks. And he might sit there and go, really? Get out of here. And they might be like, yeah, I can't. Because
their owner is telling them to
do not.
That's crazy.
And you might think it's crazy, but I've heard crazier things. Things, you know, you can start thinking sideways when you're in the NFL.
I mean, like you tell me, take off the tinfoil hat, people. Come on.
I'm just telling you.
I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying it to these owners. Like, really? Be real.
I don't know. We are totally speculating as to why this is a deal that needs to be worked on longer. Because he's definitely the only person seeking minority ownership of an NFL team who, A, has 10 Super Bowl appearances, 7 rings, and B, has a job to do with another broadcast partner of the NFL, where he gets access to all 32 teams. It's never been done before. Speaking of what's never been done before is a conversation like that to the win-loss game. Oh, by the way, What the Football, again, with Susie and Amy, where all podcasts can be acquired. Check it out. Great episode. Just fresh in your RSS feed today or last night. Tony in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Let's get this in here. I don't have a Miami Dolphin one. Did anybody do the Miami Dolphins over the last couple of days? Here we go. What's up, Tony? How are you? Altoona, PA for the Dolphins?
Oh, yeah.
So we got?
Well, I'm a Dolphin fan from Jet Country.
From Jet Country? Whoa. Living in Central PA? So what's happening?
Yeah, I got banished here.
Okay. Banished.
You got banished.
Wait a minute.
We talking playoffs?
Did you get relocated?
What happened?
Okay, here
yeah,
we go.
I got relooked, but let me tell you this. I also went to UB, and I saw the Bills lose 4 Super Bowls.
Okay. Oh. Wow. Let's get to it, because we've got a hard out coming here. We're going to whip through it. Tony in Altoona, PA, home for the Jaguars.
Win.
Then you're home for the Bills on a Thursday night.
Win.
At the Seahawks.
Loss.
Dolphins home for the Titans on a Monday night.
Win.
3-1 at the Patriots.
Win.
4-1 off the bye at the Colts.
Win.
5-1 home for the Cardinals.
Win.
6-1 at the Bills.
I'll give it a loss.
6-2 at the Rams on a Monday night.
At the Rams, I'll take a loss there.
6-3 home for the Raiders.
Win.
7-3 home for the Patriots.
Win.
1, 2, 3, 4. 8-3 at Ooh. The Packers on a Thanksgiving night.
Loss.
8-4 home for the Jets.
Win.
At the Houston Texans. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9-4 home for the Texans.
I'll take a win there.
At the Texans. Pardon me. Does that change your thing?
No.
All right. 10 wins home for the 49ers.
Loss.
At the Cleveland Browns.
Win.
And then at the New York Jets.
Win.
1, nice. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 5.
Ooh. Tony, will you do me a favor today?
Yeah.
Will you go to Texas Hot Dogs and just get a hot dog and just thank them? And that'll just make me happy because it's my favorite thing to have in Altoona.
If I can pull out $3 for it, I will.
Thank you, Tony and Altoona. And that's what we call a walk-off mic drop. Thanks to Dusty wow. May, Chris Mannix. And also right here on the show, a great chat with Xander Schauffele. We're back to wrap things up in a sec.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on. Right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith right? teaches on a sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.